Okay, let's open up in our Bibles to Luke chapter 14. You know that we're doing what's called a harmony of the Gospels. That's where you jump from Gospel to Gospel. You go always to the next chronological event in the life of Jesus, no matter where it takes you. Tonight we're in Luke 14. It's a short passage. It's 6 verses. Let me read it to you. Luke 14:1. Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And then he answered them, saying, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. Now it happened, he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath. The Sabbath day was a very large deal in the nation of Israel. It was a day for fellowship and for families and for friends, very common to receive invitations. So it was not unusual that he should be invited into a house. What was probably less common was that there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. This is a swelling of the tissues in the body. Poor circulation, other things are going on. That's kind of unusual. And I believe with all my heart that guy was a plant. He was put there by those Pharisees because if you put a sick person in front of Jesus, what's he going to do? He's going to heal him. So here they figure they've got him. We'll invite him over for dinner. We'll have this sick guy there. And then Jesus just does what he always does. He asks them a question, and they all just fall silent. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Nobody has an answer for him. They could have appealed to the law, but then he would have appealed to compassion. And so, since no one can answer him a single thing, he says, look, if you had an animal and fell in a pit and it was the Sabbath day, wouldn't you work to pull that animal out of the pit? Again, no answer. So he heals him and lets him go. Now, we have talked so many times about these little interactions between Jesus and the Pharisees, about the healings on the Sabbath day and all, that I don't think I need to go over it again with you. But what I thought I would do is this. This is a message called A Word About Healing. And since we have just received this diagnosis from the doctors, I thought I'd talk a little bit about healing so that you guys will understand the options that are in front of us when we're sick and how to go about exercising those options and what God has in store for Christians. So that by the time we finish this little study tonight, obviously we can't in 45 minutes or so cover everything on healing, but you'll come away with a little concise synopsis about healing so that you're able to deal with sickness in your own life and you'll know what to do with sickness in the lives of those who you love. So tonight, just a little quick word about healing. Let me remind you of something you already know. Healing takes place in the Bible. It's spoken of in the Bible, both in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. We read about healing many, many times. Just in the Gospels, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just in Jesus' day alone, healing is mentioned 27 times. 7 times Jesus healed with simply a word. He spoke and the healing was accomplished. 8 times he healed by reaching out and touching someone. 3 times he healed by anointing them. And when he anointed, he didn't use costly spikenard and fragrances. He usually spit. I don't like it, man. Here's a guy who can work, you know, with what he's got. He spits and makes mud. He spits on their eyes. 3 times he does that. He healed when many were present. The multitudes would come and he would heal them all. 3 times he healed not when they were present, but at a distance. They weren't even with Jesus. But he simply spoke a word and they were healed. 7 times in the scriptures we read that he healed on the Sabbath day. And obviously he healed on many other days as well. He healed individuals. He healed entire groups and multitudes. 11 times friends brought other people to Jesus for healing. 6 times people came on their own and appealed to Jesus and asked for that healing. 7 times demons were cast out. 1 time there was even a gradual cure. You remember the one where they bring him the blind man? And he does his thing and says, "What do you see?" And the guy says, I see men like trees walking. You know, it's kind of like partial restoration. And then he does his thing again. And he says, what do you see now? He says, I can see clearly now. The blindness is gone. And so he healed gradually in some cases. Some people think if it isn't all at once, it's not from the Lord. Not according to the word of God. Sometimes it's a gradual cure. The 12 were commissioned and sent out to heal, and they did so. One time Jesus sent out 70, and they went out, and they healed as well. We know that the Apostle Paul healed. And these aren't things that just simply happened only in Jesus' day, and then it ended. But we have reports throughout history from reliable witnesses of healings occurring throughout the church age. In 165 A.D., Justin Martyr wrote about healings that were taking place in the presence of his fellowship. In 192 A.D., the disciple of John, his last disciple, Irenaeus, reported healings that were going on in his day. In 216, the church father Tertullian reported healings. And in 275, Clement of Alexandria talked and wrote about healings that were taking place. In the 1700s, John Wesley was involved in many healings and was a witness of many healings that were occurring. And on and on and on. And so here's one thing we know about healing right now. Healing is real. It took place in the Old Testament. It took place in the New Testament. And it has been taking place since that time. So that leads me to ask a series of questions if I want to understand healing. And the first question would be this. Who can receive it? I would like to know who can be healed. So let me just kind of toss that out as a question to you guys. What do you think? Who can be healed?
We can.
We can. And anybody can. Absolutely. Anyone can be healed. Do you remember in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, a guy named Naaman the leper? He was a Syrian. He had leprosy. And they brought him to the prophet of God. And he was told to go and bathe 7 times. What happened? He was healed. Was he a member of the chosen people of Israel? Was he a worshiper of the true God? He almost even didn't do it. But his servant told him, he said, look, we've tried everything else. Don't you think this is worth a shot? Do it. And so he did, and an unbeliever was healed. So can unbelievers receive healing from God? Absolutely, according to God's word. Now, healing is specifically for believers because they are the only ones who can claim the promises of God as sons and daughters of God. See, Naaman the leper couldn't come and say, you know, I'm part of your people. An unbeliever today can't come and say, you know, I'm a son. He's not. But children of God can come to God and ask for healing. So who is healing for? It's really for anyone at God's discretion. But really, it's for sons and daughters of the King. Now, the next question that suggested itself to me was, why do we receive healings? That's an important question. What's the purpose of this thing that God does? Well, number one, when God heals, he shows us his compassion for us. This is not a distant God who's off hanging out on a cloud somewhere doing God stuff. And, you know, he's kind of not really into us and he's too busy. No, when we receive a healing from God, it shows to us the love of God and the compassion of God, that he's concerned with our lives. Number two, it shows his authority. When the Messiah came, he was fulfilling Old Testament promises that pointed to the Messiah and said, when he comes, watch for this. By that you will know him. And so when Jesus came, he fulfilled all those messianic prophecies. The blind saw, the deaf heard, the lame leapt to their feet, and so it showed his authority. And by the way, he had great authority. Do you realize that as you read through the Gospels, not one person ever died in the presence of Jesus? It simply wasn't possible to die in the presence of the Lord of life. There were people who were dead, and they would bring him to him, and then something outrageous would happen. But nobody ever died in front of Jesus. Question comes up about healing. Has healing passed away? Some believe that healing is one of those apostolic gifts. It was a sign of the authority of the apostles, and that since those days are over, there is no more divine healing because there are no more apostles. Do you remember one of the requirements to be an apostle? Something that can't be done today? You had to be an eyewitness of the resurrected Lord. And no one today can claim that distinction. Well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, Paul saw the resurrected Lord. So if the Lord wanted a new apostle, he could certainly reveal himself. But by and large, we're not seeing a lot of that activity going on. And so some people claim that since healing was associated with the apostolic ministries and those days have passed on, healing has passed on. It's not for today. Those who believe that ignore the historical record. They ignore the words of men like Justin Martyr and Tertullian and Clement and John Wesley. And they ignore the healings that have taken place in this congregation. We've seen these things with our own eyes. And so number one, people who take this position ignore the historical record. Number two, they ignore God's word. Take a look now, if you would please, at Mark chapter 16. And let me take you to verse 18. Listen to these words of Jesus. Mark 16:17. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, who is it that will do these things? Them that believe. Did that include the apostles? Sure it did. Is it limited to the apostles? No, it's not. I happen to be one of them that believe. And it says that healing is going to continue as long as there are those who believe in Jesus. I think that when the topic of healing comes up, there are two mistakes that get made by people. One mistake is that folks think that healing is for everybody. God will heal everyone. And if you're not healed, if you have a disease or an illness or some kind of situation going on in your body and you don't receive a healing, then it is either because of a lack of faith on your part to receive from God, or it's because of some secret sin that you have in your life. Those are the two common things that you'll hear. But think about that, and I want to ask you if that sounds like Jesus. You see, when you have someone sick who comes to you and asks for prayer or asks to be anointed, and the healing doesn't occur right then and there, hey, what about gradual healings? Does the Bible report gradual healings? Yeah, you bet it does. Here's what happens when you tell someone who is sick that they didn't receive because of their lack of faith or because of some sin that they haven't confessed. Number one, you ignore the fact that the Bible teaches about gradual cures. Number two, you take someone who's come to you in need and you cut them off at the knees and you say, you are sick and it's your fault. If only your faith were greater, you could receive. But you're going to be sick or possibly die because of your lack of faith. Or because you got some sin going on, you're not telling us about it. I want to ask you how much that sounds like Jesus Christ. It doesn't sound like him at all. Those who take the position that healing is for all, except for those who lack faith or have secret sin in their lives, ignore a man named Trophimus. Let me take you over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4 talks about a gentleman by the name of Trophimus. And in verse 20 of 2 Timothy 4, here's what it says. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Now, did Paul heal during his ministry? Absolutely. But when it came to Trophimus, who was co-laboring with Paul, what did Paul do? He left him sick. Trophimus was with Paul and he was sick. And when Paul left, Trophimus was still sick. People who believe that healing has passed away ignore a pastor, a young pastor in a church in Ephesus named Timothy. Let me take you to 1 Timothy chapter 5, where we hear about a treatment plan that Paul, the apostle doctor, devised for his young pastor friend Timothy. 1 Timothy 5:23. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and for your frequent infirmities or illnesses. And so Paul didn't heal Timothy. Think there was any lack on Paul's part? Boy, if Paul couldn't get the job done, I don't know who could. How about Timothy? Here was a pastor beloved of Paul. And yet Paul, rather than healing him, simply said, you know, a little wine is going to do you some good. Drink a little wine, it'll help your stomach a little bit. Those who believe that healing is for all and is only missed out on because of a lack of faith or secret sin, ignore Paul himself. And now I'll take you over to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. In Galatians 4, verse 13, Paul, speaking to that church in Galatia, says this: you know that because of physical infirmity, because of illness, because of sickness, I preached the gospel to you at the first. So apparently Paul's illness had something to do with him being in that area. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. And based on this, some people believe that Paul had some kind of an eye condition, perhaps a running discharge. In one place he says, see with what a large hand I have written to you. As though he had some kind of visual difficulty, and when he wrote, he had to make it big so he could see it. Paul talked about a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. And how many times did he pray to God that that thing should be removed? Three times. What was the answer he received? My grace is sufficient for you. You know, God didn't tell Paul, Paul, I'd love to heal, except you just won't believe in me, man. And he didn't say, you know, Paul, there's a little issue between you and me, and as soon as we get it straight, we can talk about that healing. He said, son, my grace is going to carry you through this. Sometimes God chooses to strengthen the back to bear the burden so that God may get glory for the divine strength rather than simply lifting the burden. So, has the days of healing passed? I don't think so. I think that the Bible indicates to us that believers are going to be involved in healings. Those are signs that will follow them. But at the same time, it doesn't say that everyone will be healed. In fact, it lists no less than three people who weren't. And in Paul's case, there's simply no doubt that it was simply a display of God's strength in his life rather than a healing. Now, if these things are true, I want to know who does the healing. You know, doctors, they have often in their businesses those little signs that say, our practice grows by referrals, so bring your friends and we'll cut you a deal on your next treatment. And, you know, I want to know who's good, don't you? Word of mouth, right? That tells you where the good docs are. Well, who does the healing? It's always Jesus. How much authority was given to him in heaven and earth? All authority. Does Jesus use men sometimes to accomplish healing? Yes. One time he used 12, one time he used 70. We were reading about this past the apostolic days. Sometimes God uses men to accomplish healing. Sometimes God will simply intervene and heal directly. So it can either be Jesus himself or Jesus working through a man. I want to read to you something. 1 Corinthians 12. Where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28... listen to this list of the gifts and see if you notice something interesting about this list. Check this out now. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. What stands out? What's a little different about one of these? Pardon? Yeah. Are they all gifts? Yes. But one of them is singled out, and it's called gifts, plural, of healings, plural. I think that God is indicating to us that each experience of healing is a separate gift unto itself. I don't believe that any one man has the power to heal all who come to him. There was one exception on the face of this planet. Who would that exception be? Jesus. When they came and asked him for healing, nobody left without a healing. But since then, many have come and proclaimed themselves to be great healers, you know. And they'll claim to get a whole bunch of people in an auditorium, swing a jacket at them, people go flying like bowling pins, and everybody's healed. I don't believe that for a minute. I don't think any one man has the gift of healing, and he will heal each and every one who comes to him. As far as I know, there's only one man who can claim that, and that was the man Christ Jesus. But I believe that there are multiple gifts of healings that occur, and sometimes God will use a man to accomplish it. Again, let me point out to you Mark 16, where it says that these are the signs that will follow them that believe. And it specifically is talking about healings. Now, God's word teaches us a number of things. We've looked at a quick, short list. Here's what we know so far. Healing is taught to us in God's word. Healing is for anyone, yet it's specifically for believers. Healing, when it occurs, shows the compassion, the authority, and the divinity of Jesus Christ. The Word of God and the historical record show us that healing is for today. And it shows that it's sometimes done by a man, it's sometimes done directly by Jesus with the authority he has received. Some receive healing, and God lifts the burden. Some receive grace, and God strengthens the back to bear the burden. So if all these things are true, then the next natural question for me to ask myself is, okay, how do I get it? How am I healed? How does this happen? How am I going to get there? Well, the answer is simple. There's one and only one way to receive this kind of healing from God, and it is by faith. I'll take you over to the book of James. James chapter 5, verse 15. Short and sweet. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven them. How are your sins forgiven? By faith, right? You got to believe God for this. You can't work your way into heaven. It's a gift, but you got to receive it by faith. Well, how is divine healing accomplished? Same way, kids. In fact, I've said this to you so many times before. How do you receive everything you ever will receive in the kingdom of God? By faith, by asking for it, and by receiving it by that same faith. You know, you have to believe not only that God is able, but that God is willing. Really, to miss out on either one of those is to cut God short. If I were to say, you know, I don't believe God is able to heal today. Whoa, hang on, wait a minute. Did God heal in the Old Testament? Did God heal in the New Testament? Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Okay, you can't believe that God can't heal, but many of us are prone to this little sin. I don't believe he will. I believe he could, but I don't believe he will. That would be the same as saying, either you can't heal me, or even though you can, you don't care enough. How do we receive healings? You have to believe. And that's the way you receive divine healing from God. It has to be a matter of faith. It can't be done any other way. There's no special formula. There's no special ritual or special tradition or any of those things. You simply have to receive it the way you receive everything else in the kingdom of God, by faith. The way you exercise that faith is by prayer. There are a number of ways this can be done. If your finger is still in James 5, listen to this. You can ask yourself. James 5:13 says this. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. So one of the ways that you can exercise your faith to receive a divine healing from God is you can go to him directly and ask. You can pray for yourself. Here's another way you can do it. You can ask others to pray for you. Look now at verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So I can ask other people to pray for me as well. Here's a third way that you can, by faith, receive divine healing from God. From verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So as I'm reading God's word, I'm seeing that it's going to be accomplished by faith if it happens. That faith can be exercised when I pray for myself, when I gather my brothers and sisters around me and I ask for their prayers, or when I call on the elders of the church, I say, come forward and anoint me with oil. And please be specific on this. It is prayer that heals and not the oil. The oil is what God tells us to do, but it's the prayer of faith that will heal the sick, not the oil of anointing. And so once again, it's that faith that we bring to Jesus that causes healing. It calls on the authority of Jesus and unleashes that authority in our lives. Now, many of us have prayed for healing, and sometimes we pray and we do not hear an answer immediately. So the question becomes, how often should I pray? If I want to receive a divine healing, should I pray more than once and make sure I covered the bases? Maybe God was, you know, like I got caller ID or something and I didn't quite get through. Maybe he was busy running the universe. But if I pray more than once, is that a lack of faith? Should I just settle for one prayer and just trust? Well, let me show you a couple things. One prayer will do it. I'm going to take you now over just a little bit back to 1 John. I'm sorry, a little bit forward to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. Now listen to this. Here's a guarantee to you from God. Here's a promise. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So if you have asked and prayed, has God heard you, yes or no? Well, if God's telling me the truth, he's heard me the first time I've prayed. And according to the next verse, once I've prayed, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So let me just put the question to you. If you're praying for healing, will one prayer do it? No reason why not. But can I pray again? Can I pray a second time or a third time? Can I ask my friends to pray for me again? Yeah, of course I can. I can pray as many times as necessary. When Daniel offered up a prayer, how long was it before the angel of God came with the answer? 21 days. How many times do you think Daniel prayed in those 21 days? Lord, we were talking yesterday, and, well, I don't know, no answer. Let me just say it again, just to make sure. I would imagine he prayed a number of times in those 21 days. It took that angel 21 days to overcome the principalities and powers that ruled over where Daniel was so that the answer could come. Do you remember a widow in the Bible? She was a widow, and she did not have what it took to get justice in those days. She didn't have money or power or connections. But she had one thing. She had gumption. And she came to a corrupt judge who was only interested in bribes and people who could do him favors. And she came and she knocked on that door day after day. I almost feel sorry for the judge when I read that because this woman is going to give him no relief. And finally, he gives in and gives her what she wants just to get rid of her. Now, is your God at least as good as a corrupt judge? Or do you suspect he may be much better than some petty politician or corrupt judge? I think our God is great. And I think if you came numerous times, I think that you would receive an answer. How often should I pray? Whenever the Spirit of God calls me to prayer. Whenever I feel in my heart that I want to go. See, I can come into his presence anytime, as many times as I want. And believe it or not, he's thrilled when we come into his presence. Isn't that amazing? I can understand why I would be thrilled to come into God's presence, but he's thrilled that we would come. And so I can pray once. I can pray as many times as I need. Now, let me just say a word now, having said these things about healing, a little mini teaching about healing tonight. Let me say a word about wisdom versus foolishness. Both of these things are out there, and we walk in both at different times in our lives. I have seen people turn their back on doctors and only pray to God. And I have seen people die needlessly. I'm not going down that path. On the other hand, I've seen people neglect. I have seen people neglect prayer and put their trust in fallible human doctors. And I've seen some of those people die needlessly as well and not receive the answer that God wanted them to have. I'm not going there either. In fact, I'm not going down either one of those paths. Here's what I would do if I was sick, and here's what I have done. You guys have seen me do this. And I want you to take note of this because this is yours now. This belongs to you on the authority of God's word. What did I do when I got the diagnosis? I prayed myself. And I went before God himself and I asked for healing. I asked others to come around me and pray, and that was when the congregation gathered together on three separate occasions. And you all laid hands on me and lifted me up before the Lord. Bless you guys for that. I felt surrounded and embedded in your love. What a blessing for me. And I've asked the elders to come up and anoint me with oil. And we had the elders come and anoint. So I have done those things. And in doing those things, I am believing God for a healing. Here's the diagnosis. Terminal stage 4 cancer. But if I don't believe God, I cannot receive what he has for me. Now, it may be true that God will sometimes strengthen the back to bear the burden. That's true. But what if God has a divine healing in store for me? What if I don't believe him? Can I receive it? He was unable to perform many mighty works in his own hometown because of their unbelief. So, faith is a choice you make. You decide that you're going to follow Jesus. You come to him by faith and you give your life to him. You make him Lord. So here's what I'm going to do. I am believing with all my heart that God is going to heal this. Could I show up in Illinois and they check the lungs and there's nothing there? Is that a possibility? Amen. Could I show up and there's still something there? Come back to New Mexico and the doctors here that administer the treatment, they could look and find nothing. Is that possible? Could they start a treatment, and partway through the treatment, they look and they go, what is this? We got the wrong x-rays. There's nothing here. Is that possible? Amen. Could they give me the treatment and say, we've done all we can for you. Now just enjoy your days. And then God could heal me. See, God can step in and heal me any point in that process. So if I go to a doctor and he says, I'm sorry, son. I know you're praying, but it's still there. I don't care. I'm still believing that God is going to heal me, because if I do not believe, I will not receive and I will come short of the blessings that God has. If I'm wrong about this, I'm not too worried because I've already lined up the docs. And they're going to have their shot at me and do their thing. I'm not going down either of those paths I described to you. I'm going to doctors, but I am trusting God for the healing. Whether he heals me directly, whether he has a man lay hands on me and direct me, heal me, or whether he has a doctor work on me and heal me. I don't care. I'm trusting God for the healing, because if I do not believe him in this thing, I will not receive the blessing that he may have in store for me. So I have one option. I'm believing that God's going to heal me, and he will receive great glory for this thing. I'm getting copies of every x-ray, every CAT scan, everything. And when people say, oh, well, you know, it probably wasn't really. Here it is. There's the x-ray. There's the CAT scan. And I'm standing before you today as a testimony to God's glory. And that's what I'm ready to do. You see, God can work through my prayers or through your prayers. He can work through a man. He can work through a doctor. I'm just ready to give God the glory. And he'll decide whether to strengthen my back to bear the burden, or whether to lift the burden off my back. It's his decision. But if God has a divine, miraculous healing for me, and I believe he does, if God has that for me and I fail to stand in faith and believe him, I will not receive it and I will come short of the blessing. And I'm not going to do that. This has been pointed out to me recently because I have come to realize that as a pastor, I don't believe God for miracles for myself. See, I believe Him for you guys. But based on some things in my past, because I went through a divorce and I prayed that God would not allow it, but it happened. And because there was a child custody thing involved, and originally I had custody and then it was taken away, and I prayed that God would restore it, and He didn't. And because I went through cancer the first time and had to go through the whole process, God has shown me that I've come to a place in my life where I'm willing to believe for you, because I've seen miracles. But when it comes to me, that's just not the way God works with me. When it comes to me, God just says, hitch your pants up, son, and you and I will walk through this together. And so that's what I believe Him for, walking through it together. And I believe that I've come short of God's blessing a number of occasions because I simply did not believe. And I will not make this mistake again. I am making a conscious decision to believe Jesus Christ for healing, however He chooses to bring it. But if I don't believe, can't receive. I share this with you because, well, we've got the first diagnosis in. Not the diagnosis I wanted. But I'm not too concerned about it because I believe that God is going to heal me. And I believe that a year from now and 5 years from now and 10 years from now, if the Lord should delay His coming, that I will still be standing in this pulpit teaching. If I'm wrong, that's God's problem, not mine. But I will have done what is required. I will have believed. So tonight, what I have wanted to present to you is this, a little mini-series on teaching. We could spend weeks and weeks covering this topic. But we had 6 short verses that covered something we've covered so many times before. I thought I'd use it sort of in a current event sort of fashion to share with you some things that God has to say about healing. Now, you've seen me do these things. And I believe that in the future, you will see a divine healing. Now, these things belong to you. Now, when a sickness comes into your body or the body of a friend, you know what to do. And this is another way of giving God the glory, of sharing the information. See, we all have the same enemy. We got to share the ammunition, kids. And this is what you do when you're sick. You believe God. And you leave how He'll accomplish it in His hands. But if you do not believe, you cannot receive. Only one way to heaven. What do you got to do? Only one way to be healed. What is it? Everything you ever receive in the kingdom of God, you will receive by faith because you believed God and came to Him as a child, held your hands out empty and received from God. And that's the way it's done. So now when you're sick, when those around you are sick, you know what to do. Don't be afraid to go to God once or many times. Don't be afraid to go to friends. Don't be afraid to call for the elders of this church. This is what God has said to do. So now we have in our hands kind of a little, healing in a nutshell. This is what you do. These are your options and rights as children of God. Don't be afraid to call on your brothers and sisters, to call on your God, to call on the elders, and exercise these things. These belong to you. If you're a child of God, this is yours. And you have a God who is not only able, but compassionate and willing. If you don't believe, you'll never receive. Father, we thank You tonight for Your word, God.
You're just so good.
In the world, it takes connections to get things done. It takes money. It takes power. It takes energy. It takes effort. In the kingdom, it just takes believing You. Praise You for it, God. All the good things, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is ours simply by faith. And so, Father, as a people, we come before You tonight. First of all, we praise You. We thank You that this is the way You've ordained for things to work in Your kingdom. And, Father, we, number two, commit just to believe You for the good things. Not just for healing, but for every spiritual blessing. In heavenly places, we commit to simply believe You for these things. We're not going to try to work our way into the blessing. We're not going to try to perform or show off for You. We're simply going to believe You and receive it with open hands. And Father, again, we just thank You. To have a God who is not only able, but also willing and filled with compassion. I can take these kind of things and leave the decision in your hand as to how to accomplish them, because you will always choose a better way than I would have chosen. But I'm going to come to you by faith, because there simply is no other way. Thank you for making it so easy. Now we can all get in on the blessings, on the good things that you have. Now no one has to come up short, because anyone can believe if they choose to. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we choose to believe you and your word tonight. We believe your goodness in Jesus' name.